A reading from 1 Kings. Elijah set out from Horeb and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. When Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. A scribe then approached and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Christ our mighty and ever-living God, who opened the heart of Kateri to Kakwitha to receive the good news of Jesus Christ and to devote her life to your service, grant us the same zeal of devotion to persevere in faith through the trials and tribulations of our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The true love of peace, and guide with your wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your dominion may increase until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, the life of all who live, the light of the faithful, the strength of those who labor, and the repose of the dead, we thank you for the blessings of the day that is past, and humbly ask for your protection through the coming night. Bring us in safety to the morning hours, through him who died and rose again for us, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strong rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I've preached many times at this evensong service over my 20 years in Cleveland, and in those evensongs I have preached about many obscure saints over the years, sometimes having to educate myself about them in order to do so. And in all those 20 years, I have never struggled over a homily the way I have this one. I knew absolutely nothing about Kateri Tekakwitha until this past Sunday evening when I learned from BJ that's what I would be preaching about. And so I dived into the internet rabbit hole to prepare for tonight. I encourage you to go home and jump down the same rabbit hole. What I learned has left me with a serious case of conflicted feelings and conflicted thoughts and ambiguous feelings. So first, just the barest facts. Tekakwitha, the name in Algonquin means she who bumps into things, was an indigenous American woman, born a member of the Mohawk people in what we know today as upstate New York in the year 1656. As a young girl, her entire family was wiped out in a smallpox epidemic. She was left with horrible facial scarring and fragile health. At age 19, Tekakwitha moved to a Jesuit community near Montreal. And there she converted to Roman Catholicism and took the name Kateri, which is a sort of Mohawk version of Catherine, after her patron saint, or the saint she chose as her patron, Saint Catherine of Siena. And she professed a perpetual vow of virginity, and in the following years became known for a life of severe asceticism, which, combined with her already frail health, led to her death on this date in 1680 at the age of 24. She became known in subsequent decades and centuries as the Lily of the Mohawks. And she was finally canonized by Pope Benedict in 2012. The lesser feast in her honor was established at the General Convention in 2022, which means I probably have the privilege of being the first person to preach on Kateri Tekakwitha in her commemoration here at Trinity Cathedral. Remember that. Several years ago, at one of my Friday morning men's Bible studies, the conversation got a little heated. That Bible study was a wonderful group of people, but it was kind of anchored by three men who were what I would call mainstream Chamber of Commerce, Wall Street Journal conservatives. And won't get into the weeds of what caused this little contretemps, but at the end of it, I was accused of a terrible crime. I was called politically correct. Now, this was before the even more awful sobriquet of woke had been invented, but I was called politically correct. And I said to the person who called me political correct, I said, well, Jim, you know, to me, politically correct is what my mother taught me were good manners. And that shut him up. Because I was serious, particularly in the context of what we were talking about. And the more I learned about Kateri, the more I sensed that this was one of those cases where charges of political correctness and wokeness could be leveled. The deeper you go on the internet, the more the sainthood of Kateri gets wrapped up in debates and discussions of the role of Christian missionaries in that period of time and part of the world, the role of Christian missionaries in baptizing European colonialism, the more the charge of the church being complicit in the ethnic and cultural eradication on this continent of its first peoples. That's part of the discussion. She was a holy woman. She is revered among indigenous peoples who are Christians, but among indigenous peoples who have not embraced Christianity, she is considered a problematic figure. And that's exactly how I began to feel as I learned about her, feeling both admiration and a kind of embarrassment. And that moment for me that crystallized that feeling was the moment, you know, when a person is made a saint, all kinds of evidence has to be given in the cause of the saint. It took over 350 years for Kateri's cause to make it to beatification and canonization. And so the body of stories, the body of evidence, if you will, grew in that time. And one of the earliest pieces of evidence given for Kateri's sainthood was a description of her death that was provided by a French Jesuit priest shortly after her death. And he wrote, in the moments after Blessed Kateri passed, her skin, the skin of her face, which until then had been swarthy and covered with scars, became soft and creamy white. And I felt myself shiver, and I didn't know what to do with that. Many of you might be, like me, great fans of the Cleveland International Film Festival, which just concluded last weekend. And if you go to the Cleveland International Film Festival, you know that every single film that is shown before the much anticipated festival theme trailer comes on, there's just a plain white screen that is shown before every film. And that plain white screen, and I think it's been there for at least three or four film festivals, that white screen reminds everyone in the room that we are sitting upon the lands of the Haudenosaunee people, the Native Americans who called this particular part of America their land. And they were cousins of the tribe of Kateri. And we're encouraged to remember that we live and enjoy the land that was taken from them. And we're encouraged to keep ever in mind the sacrifices and the losses of Native Americans in the creating of the country that we have now. I think what the Roman Catholic Church did first, and that we were compelled to follow along in, was our way of trying to honor that reality, of trying to honor the spirituality and the power and the dignity of the people who were, depending on your view or depending upon, were the witting or the unwitting victims, not only of Western imperialism, but of Christian imperialism. I don't think there was a Jesuit priest in that mission who felt the need to eradicate the people who were already here. I believe those Jesuits and the people who served with them were genuinely trying to share what they felt to be the good news of Jesus Christ with people who had not heard it, as we have all been compelled to do all our lives. But the unintended consequences were terrible. And either a hero or a victim, some measure of both, I believe, is this person that we call and remember Kateri Tekakwitha, a Native American who embraced the Lord Jesus Christ because that story and the people who told it helped her in her weakness and in her her fear and in her difficult life to find a place to be. And however you might feel about the kind of severe asceticism that she embraced, she held up and said, and apparently in her own last words were, "Jesus, I love you," which is the best that any of us can hope for. So I give you tonight, for the first time ever, St. Kateri Tekakwitha. Struggling with this would be a good thing for your soul, a good thing for our souls. She is revered and she is reviled by her own people. And it would be well for us to be honest, truly honest, about both the glorious, glorious story that we tell and the sometimes not so glorious underside that goes with it. So may God bless the memory of Kateri, and may she pray for us now and always. Amen.
Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. For the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Almighty God, who created us and our sister Kateri in your own image, grant us grace fearlessly to contend against evil and to make no peace with oppression, and that we may reverently use our freedom. Help us to employ it in the maintenance of justice in our communities and among the nations, to the glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The peace of Christ, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.